This morning, Lieutenant William Q. Punnell was laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery. He was killed in the line of duty on July 25, 1944, which means he was considered missing in action for 73 years. Nearly 73,000 veterans of World War II are still listed as missing. Bringing Lieutenant Punnell home took 21st century science, research, and technology. It also took the dedicated efforts of Project Recover. We're joined now by Project Recover principal investigators. We have Eric Terrell. He's the director of the Coastal Observing Research and Development Center with Scripps Institution of Oceanography, University of California, San Diego. And Mark Moline. He is director of the School of Marine Science and Policy, University of Delaware, College of Earth, Ocean, and Environment. Dr. Terrell, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Moline, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Is it Terrell? Dr. Terrell? How am I saying your name?
Yeah, Terrell.
Terrell. All right. Let's start. We're reaching you in Arlington National Cemetery or near there. Tell us what happened this morning. What is the ceremony like at this stage? And then we'll go back in time.
Today was a fantastic celebration. Very humbling to see some of the closure for the family of Lieutenant William Punnell being recognized with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery.
Is there a crowd there? Are there family members there? How do they handle these sorts of things when, you know, something happened 73 years ago?
Yeah, so the U.S. government and U.S. Navy had, reached out formally to descendants of William Punnell and his extended family arrived here. His nephew and the son and wife all attended the funeral today. And there were several others, but weren't able to travel in today due to other commitments. But the there was extended family here, and especially satisfying for the nephew who had grown up hearing about Lieutenant Punnell being able to get some closure.
Yeah. So let's talk about Project Recover and the efforts to find Lieutenant Punnell. Mark Moline, do you want to start there?
Sure. Both Eric and I were working in Palau in 2010, and since 2010, and bumped into a future colleague of ours, Pat Scannon, who had been searching in Palau since 1993 for folks missing in action. And both Eric and I were in Palau working on a science project there and bumped into Pat and found out about his mission to locate downed aircraft and MIAs. And both Eric and I are using underwater technologies to underwater sonar and things like that that are ideally suited for identifying and locating these aircraft. So just out of chance, we bumped into this group and started working together. And it was in 2014, we formalized a partnership with some funding from the Office of Naval Research initially and led to the discovery of the site where Lieutenant Punnell's plane was.
Where do you begin with that, Eric? Do you know who he is and that he's missing first, or are you looking at the site first and you find something and then you try to match it to the records?
No, our process really begins doing much more of the non-glamorous, boring paperwork side. And so there are declassified reports, air after action reports, lost reports of these aviators that can be found at the National Archives. So due to the mission that we were working in Palau and the searches area, his case was one that had been studied. We knew what as much detail as we could based on the historical records, his flight path, why he was shot down due to the location of anti-aircraft. And we use as much historical information as we can to recreate the last few moments of the fateful incident to be able to identify what what parts of the ocean we need to start conducting searches. So really the very beginning is all based on historical research. In that mm-hmm. process, you know, we're uncovering, you know, old black and white photos and, you know, pictures of Lieutenant Pennell and his crewmates from the squadron he was with. So we definitely felt like we knew who we were looking for before we even hit the water.
And you, Project Recover has sent us some images and some video. We'll put some of those photos up on our website at listen.sdpb.org so listeners can and see some of this visual. But, Mark, tell me about his story, the day of his death. What is he doing, and how does he get shot down by Japanese forces?
So he's part of the second attack on the Palau Islands during the war, and as your listeners probably know, there was an island hopping approach in the Pacific. Palau was going to be one of those island hops. It turned out to be a much more fortified location and problematic, so they basically sidestepped it after fierce resistance by the Japanese. And so he was coming in with his squadron to bomb a float plane base, a base where float planes park and are worked on. And it was in that dive, an attack on there, that he was hit with anti-aircraft fire and fell into the ocean. The historical records mentioned that he was 300 feet off this particular location, so it gave us a good area to start looking for his aircraft, and we eventually found it 600 yards, so significantly further out than the eyewitnesses, but the eyewitnesses put us in the right location.
The aircraft doesn't explode or light on, it just sinks. It crashes and it goes down. Do I understand that?
Yeah, this one was probably hit by anti-aircraft fire and then what goes right into the water. And when you find an aircraft wreckage that's hit the surface of the water, it doesn't really look like an airplane anymore. It's a fairly mangled piece of equipment. So it's hard to distinguish when you're searching underwater to identify it versus the background coral and sort of the natural growth in the area. So that's really a challenge that we have in locating the aircraft.
So, Eric, when you have an idea of, you know who you're looking for, you have enough historical evidence to do the actual searching, what happens next? How do you get under the water to see what's there?
So one of the parts of our day jobs as oceanographers are developing undersea technologies and different sensors and payloads that we might put on in the water robots. So in this particular case, we set up a search pattern that would search the area offshore of this Japanese seaplane base. And in the area as well, there were some very steep coral walls that were right on essentially a cliff. There was a precipice of coral that dropped off from tens of feet to over 100 feet in water depth. So a very steep region, which makes it difficult to actually send the robots in very close adjacent to the walls. So we had conducted a kind of planned a two-phase approach for the Lieutenant Pennell case, where we had a dive team was searching the very low visibility water, making their way along the walls, while on the offshore we had the underwater robots swimming back and forth, scanning the seabed with a type of sonar that we use. And as luck would have it, the dive team came across the tail wheel of the missing aircraft, and through some subsequent dives found the wreckage at the same time while the robot was also flying overhead in the same region. So really a joint effort there between the planning phase of the program with the modern technologies and then directing the dive team to look in the right areas.
Is this new technology that didn't exist, earlier, in the sense that because of the technology we can make the discovery and the recovery, Or is this a matter of just putting all the pieces together and having the patience and the funding and the effort to go after an individual story?
It's a little bit of both. The modern technology is really an enabler that allows us to start putting together pieces and cases such as Lieutenant Pinnell's and others, which were once considered essentially identified as cold cases that they couldn't be found. What we're finding is modern technologies now that we use in the undersea community are applicable to these World War II searches. So we're in the process of working with the U.S. government and educating them on some of these newer technologies that can be used for the very particular mission of finding and locating aircraft wreckage associated from losses in World War II.
Mark Moline, take me to the moment when now you're dealing with, I mean, this is a, you know, the scene of a downed aircraft. It's also the scene of someone's death. You need to recover remains, and you need to do that in a scientific and respectful way. Tell me about that process, please.
Yeah, so that is a really humbling experience when you've put that much time and effort into thinking about a case, and then you dive on the actual wreckage and realize sort of the tragedy that happened 70 plus years ago with the downing of the aircraft. And it is a solemn moment. It's a there's a obviously the respect of the site that it's worthy of. And essentially what we do after locating the site is provide a full documentation of the site and put a report together. We happen to have somebody on site that was with the government, so they could take the control of some of the remains. We then documented the site and wrote a report to the government. The government then initiates a search routine for and a recovery effort of the aircraft, and they go down with teams of Navy divers and recover the actual remains that come back, and with then are processed for DNA. Then there's a process where they're reaching out to the families. Again, we pretty much knew who this was, but they have to reach out to the families, get correlating DNA samples from the families, and then finally make that approach and that connection. And so it's a long process. That happened in 2014, and the families were notified in the summer of 17. So it's quite a long process.
Eric, in our last remaining 30 seconds, leave us with this. Why do this work? It's time-consuming. It's expensive. What motivates you to keep doing this kind of work?
You know, the motivation is that we need to continue to remember the Lieutenant Pinnells that have served the country, paid the ultimate sacrifices, as have their families, and many of them are seeking closure. They are seeking closure. And so being able to, in some small way, contribute to recognizing them and providing that closure is the real mission here.
Eric Terrell, Mark Moline with Project Recover. Thank you so much from the people of South Dakota for the work that you do. Thank you for joining us from Arlington National Cemetery today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.